It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We begin our study today in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 4, and we've read verses 12 through 13, but let's read those again. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Remember, we're going to go through difficult times as Christians. The Christian life is not a bed of roses. We still have problems, but the Christian life is still the best life. There is no other life that compares with the Christian life. Nothing in this world, the world cannot offer you what the Christian life offers you. And that Christian life comes through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, the first part of verse 13, instead of being surprised, we need to be filled with happiness. We need to count it all joy. And hard times will come, and you need to be ready for it. And don't give up, but keep on going on when things come into your life that presents a problem to you. Let God take it for you. In other words, He will give you the strength that you need to carry on. Ask Him for that strength. On 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Well, verse 14 talks about criticism. Criticized and shamed in the name of Christ. It talks about that. And the spirit of exaltation and the glory of God brings tranquility, according to that verse. The spirit of exaltation, glory for the cause of Christ. See, those who reproach you are actually speaking evil of Christ. And as I've already mentioned, it's because of Christ that you're persecuted and being reproached for Christ. And when that happens, you're bringing honor and glory to the Lord when you stand up for Him, when you're reproached, when you are persecuted. And when you are reproached, it means you're doing something for Christ. You're lifting Him up. You're exalting Him. And it glorifies Him if you're being persecuted. Now in verse 15 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter, it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. We're not to kill people for the cause of Christ. We're not to steal. We're not to do evil. And we're not to talk or be a busybody. You know what a busybody is. That's someone that's constantly spreading rumors and everything. We're not to concern ourselves with other men's matters. We're to concern ourselves with the Lord. And this verse, in verse 15, is what Christians should not suffer for. A Christian should not be guilty of being a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, a busybody. This is a meddler in other people's matters. That is a busybody. Now in verse 16, it says this, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Christians who suffer for Christ are not to be ashamed or embarrassed. People who suffer for Christ are to glorify God in suffering. We're to praise God for the suffering that we go through on this earth for the cause of Christ. Verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 4. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, the judgment of God is now, according to this verse that I've just read. Judgment must begin with God's church, with believers. We need to judge ourselves, and judgment will come to those who disobey the gospel of Christ. And in other words, we need to judge ourselves as we are acting for the Lord. We're doing things for God to bring honor and glory to His Son, Jesus Christ. And don't worry about those people who disobey the gospel of Christ, because judgment is coming for them as well. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, the righteous and the ungodly, according to verse 18, that's who it's talking about. If the justified sinner has been judged, what judgment awaits the unsaved? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 7, it says this, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Jesus died for us. He died for sinful men and women so that we could go to heaven. Jesus loves you today, and He wants you to know Him as your Lord and Savior. Well, we move on now to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. The chapter here concludes by saying, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God," we're talking about suffering persecution again here, "wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing," do well, "as unto a faithful Creator." We're to suffer according to the will of God. Well, what does that mean? It means to commit your soul to God and do good. Commit your soul to God. Be faithful to the Creator. You don't get saved over and over and over again. It's not talking about that, committing your soul to God over and over and over again. It's talking here about doing good for the Lord, of bringing honor and glory to His Son, Jesus Christ. Everything we do as a Christian is to glorify our Savior. And as we glorify Him, that brings glory and honor to the Father. Well, as we look on now in chapter 5, we're moving into chapter 5 of 1 Peter, a description of this chapter would be this: to examine the duties of elders in their role as shepherds and pastors, overseers or bishops, and it's to note the importance of submission and humility in our relation to elders, one to another, and God, and to consider how we might best counter our adversary, the devil. And then we see it's to glean how Peter sought to encourage his brethren in their suffering. Remember, we left chapter 4, and it talks about our sufferings, and we suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to note something in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter's epistle. It says, like those of James were written primarily to Jewish Christians of the dispersion. And although it's evident that there were also Gentiles in the churches in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, these five Roman provinces were all in what is now Turkey. Cappadocia in particular was not far from Babylon. And we see that Peter and James spoke to the Christians. They spoke to the Jewish believers as well as, you need to know this, to glean from these writings what God has for us as the church today. He's writing to us today as the children of the Lord. And look first with me, if you would, to verses 1 through 5 of 1 Peter chapter 5. And we see the duties of shepherds and the flock. Verses 1 through 4 talk about the elders and the duties as shepherds. Verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Well, Peter identifies himself here in verse 1 of chapter 5. He's an elder. This means he has authority. And he also tells us that he saw the sufferings of Christ. He was an eyewitness of what Christ went through. You can go back and read all that about how that he walked with the Lord and the many things that he did with the Lord and how he denied the Lord just before the Lord was crucified and how that he went out and wept bitterly after he denied the Lord. Well, you read about all this in the Word of God. He is an elder here. That's Peter. He's saying he's got the authority and he saw the sufferings of Christ. It talks there that he will be with Jesus. And you and I will be with Jesus if we've named him as our Savior. Look at verses 2 and 3 with me, if you would, of 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." Well, here we see the duty of the elders is to take care of or to shepherd the flock of God. You remember in John chapter 21, verses 16 and 17, Jesus tells Peter, "Feed my sheep." Well, Peter says that he is an elder and he has authority. And he's telling the elders of the church of God now, of the people who God has placed in the care of the shepherd of the flock of the local church. He's talking to these people who God has placed there. He says, "Take care of the flock of God. Feed my sheep." This is what the Lord told Peter. And now Peter's telling the shepherds of the flocks. And this means to watch over, to shepherd, to watch over the flock of God. Take care of them. Watch over them. And verse 2, the elders are to take the oversight without being forced. And then according to that verse, not to be forced to take care of the flock, not simply for profit, or that's filthy lucre, not just simply to get money, not as tyrants, not browbeating or thinking you are greater than anyone else. You're still a child of God, he's telling these elders. You're still just doing the work of God. And I say still just doing the work of God. You have an important work to do, he's saying here as an elder of a church. You're to be a shepherd. You're to take care of the flock of God. And you're to feed them. You're to watch over them. And not only that, you're to be an example. Peter is saying here that you're to be an example, elder, pastor. As an elder, as a pastor, you're to be an example to the flock. Well, verse 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Well, for being a good shepherd, according to verse 4, there's an achievement award, a crown, the crown of glory that does not fade away. And this crown of achievement will always be seen. It's not going to leave. It's not going to tarnish. Nothing's going to happen to that crown for that faithful servant who takes care of the flock of God. And then we see in verse 5, the congregation has duties as well. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Well, there's a twofold duty for the flock. First, it's to yield or submit to the overseers, the elders, and to one another. It means to be humble, to humble yourselves, and don't think of yourselves too highly. You're to yield, submit to each other, not only to the elders, but to each other. And we think of fellowship many times as just simply gathering together to eat or something like that. But fellowship means that we're to work with one another. That's fellowship of being together, doing the same thing for the cause of Christ to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Well, why yield? Now, I mentioned here in this verse, it's talking about yielding in verse 5. And, well, why yield? It's because God resists or opposes those who think more of themselves than others. But to those who think more of others than self, God bestows his favor according to verse 5. Do you know him today as your Savior? Have you trusted him? May I invite you to receive him today as your Lord and Savior. Be willing to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ the Savior. Ask him to take sin from you and give you eternal life. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.